that brings back some memories, doesn't it? Yes. Well, you know, the hotel where the Wizard of Oz Munchkins made their home during filming is in danger of closing. So the leader of the Lollipop Guild, who you just heard singing there, is stepping in and taking action. Little person actor Jerry Marin, who is now 82 years old, visited the historic Culver Hotel in Culver City, California on Monday, just the other day, and then marched on to City Hall's council meeting to save the place where he and the other Munchkins once slept, three to a bed. Jerry's on the line with us right now to share some of the Munchkin concern and also his story. Hi, Jerry. How are you?
Fine. I'm just fine. Thank you.
Thanks for being on the program with us.
You're welcome.
So you're trying to save the Culver City Hotel.
Well, I did the best I could, you know.
Yeah, you did the best you could. What's the situation with the hotel? Why is it being taken down?
Well, the city of Culver City is trying to take away their parking lot. Well, they did take away their parking lot. And without parking, it's pretty hard to run a hotel.
Oh, I see. So the parking lot is gone, so the hotel as a result is suffering.
Correct. And, you know, the more they suffer, then the next thing you know, they're going to have to tear it down.
So you went to City Hall?
Yes.
And what happened there?
Well, we all made our little speeches, and now they're thinking about it.
Okay. Why is it so important to you? I can understand from a personal perspective, but why is it so important, do you feel, to save this hotel?
It's not that important, but it is. It's important in a way because it's a memory, you know, of a beautiful place. And every time you go to Culver City, when you see the Culver City Hotel, you know you're in Culver City because it's such a stick out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's the proper word. It's such a...
A landmark.
Landmark, yes.
Okay. Well, let's go back to, well, I guess it before 1939, I guess it was.
Yes.
You were the leader of the Lollipop Guild.
Correct.
You were the person who actually handed Judy Garland that enormous lollipop, right?
And I sang her a song.
And you sang her a song.
Would you like to hear it?
Go ahead.
We represent the Lollipop Guild, the Lollipop Guild, the Lollipop Guild, and in the name of the Lollipop Guild, we wish to welcome you to Munchkin Land. And I handed her the lollipop.
Now,
that's a welcoming gesture.
That was a long time ago, and as I mentioned...
69 years ago.
Yeah, as I mentioned...
64 years ago.
64 years ago. So you were a teenager.
I was 17. I just turned 18 when we did the movie.
Okay. Now, as I mentioned in the intro, the hotel, the Culver Hotel... Had you sleeping three to a bed?
Well, we didn't have that many rooms, so we had to double up and triple up, and then they used a couple of hotels next door, little hotels.
How many little people were involved in that production?
124.
And were you all a tight-knit group?
No, we didn't even know each other, because they got us from all parts of the country.
Now, as I'm sure you are aware, there have been a lot of things said over the last... several decades about what went on during the shooting of that film, and a lot of it dealt with supposedly what went on with the Munchkins.
Well, that's a lot of BS.
Yeah, I figured as much.
Well, there's one or two guys that drank quite a bit, and they were alcoholics to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
So if they were in Zamboanga, they'd have been drunk, too, no matter where the hell they were.
Yeah. So,
I don't even know where Zamboanga is. Where is it? Well, it's just an expression, I guess.
Yeah. So it wasn't the wild debauchery that people have talked about over the years?
How could it be? We worked 6 days a week, $50 a week, 7 in the morning till 7 in the evening, no union. You know what I mean? You didn't have the money to do things like that. Besides, most of the little guys from Europe, they used to send about $20, $25 back to their home, you know, to let them know that they're doing well. And that left them with nothing. Practically, you know.
How many days or how many weeks did you spend shooting The Wizard of Oz?
We spent about 7 weeks. But, of course, the week of that was choreography. Another week was special makeup. And another couple of more days for wardrobe specialty, you know. So it was a lot of technical stuff.
Of course, in this day and age, the film is considered a classic, and of course, so many people, myself included, grew up watching it on television every year. But it wasn't the hit that it is today when it first came out, was it?
I'm afraid not. I don't know why, but it Well, I think that when it hit television, it affected the people, and that's where it became a big hit. You know, especially in the Midwest, because it was their story, you know. You know, the Midwest, a lot of farms, a lot of young ladies, and they have hurricanes there and floods and all that stuff. So they knew about disasters and all that. It was their story. I mean, that's what I think.
We are talking with actor Jerry Marin, who was the leader of the Lollipop Guild in the classic film The Wizard of Oz, here on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJD 800. So what did you do after The Wizard of Oz?
Well, I was all set to go home, you know, back to Boston. And they said, oh, wait a minute, we want to keep you for something. I says, okay, you know. So I did an Owl Gang comedy. I was starring in an Owl Gang comedy show called Tiny Troubles. I played the midget maybe baby thief. You know, me and my mother were, she sold the papers on the corners, and when they went up to read the, lift the paper up to read, I robbed something there, a watch or whatever it was. And then the policeman caught us, so we ran away, and I found a tree trunk that was empty, so I sat in the tree trunk, and the Owl Gang comedy gang, they were the kids, they were out with their little newborn baby brother or something. And he was always crying, you know. So they see me in the tree, and I was always extremely young looking, you know, even though I was 18, you know.
Right.
So they says, oh, well, let's trade him for our baby. So they traded, they put me in the baby carriage and put their own kid under the tree. So then they took me home with them, and I was smoking cigars, drinking beer, all that kind of stuff, and it created quite a ruckus. Hence the name Tiny Trouble.
Now, you mentioned that you originally...
Then after that, I was going to go home again, and they said, oh, no, we want you for Marx Brothers. So they signed me for the Marx Brothers at the Circus, the movie.
Right.
I played...
Professor Adam?
Professor Adam is exactly right.
Right.
And that was fun.
Now, you mentioned you came originally from Boston. How did they find you in the first place? What had you done before The Wizard of Oz?
Well, I was in high school.
Uh-huh.
But my two sisters used to go to dancing school. So my mother said to me, why don't you go to dancing school with your sister? Maybe you can learn something, you know. She wanted to get me out of the house or something like that, you know. So I went there, and I kind of enjoyed it. And we had two recitals a year, and I got the bug. You know, for being in show business. And three of the teachers at the school said, say, we're going to do an act, and would you care to join us for about a month? We're going to tour New England. So I said, well, let me ask my mother and father. So I asked them. I said, sure. As long as you stay in New England, it can't be too bad. If something goes wrong, we can always pick you up. You know, how far away from Boston is New England? You know, only 200 miles
right.
to the cities where we would be playing. So we were playing in the Bond Hotel in Hartford, Connecticut. And this gentleman came backstage and said, you know, we're making a movie in the West Coast called The Wizard of Oz, and we need all the little people we can find. Would you be interested? I said, absolutely. You know, he said, well, we know you can sing and dance, and we've got a spot for you. I said, okay, that's fine. So, like you said, 3 weeks later, I got a telegram from the Metro Golden Mayor, and it was fine. Transportation, hotel, 6 weeks guarantee. So my mother and father looked at it and said, well, they sound legitimate, so why don't you do it? I said, okay. So I joined them, and they made a rendezvous in New York City where they picked up more little people, and we all come out here by bus. And that's how we found me.
And as the saying goes, the rest is history. You've had a pretty busy career. You've been pretty fortunate. You know, I was reading some information on you in the past, and I know you were friends with Billy Barty, right?
Oh, very, yes. I've known him for 40 years.
And we had Billy on the program a couple of years ago. Sadly, of course, Billy passed away not too long ago.
Well, yes, that was too bad.
Yeah. Billy was always a strong advocate for the working conditions of little people. Was it a difficult situation in the early days of Hollywood to to deal with the problems of being an actor of shorter stature?
It wasn't difficult for me because I was lucky that I was wanted all the time, and that made me feel good.
Right.
Of course, I was small and cute, you know, so I was what they wanted. So nothing bothered me. And then when things got a little slow, I said, I should do something else. So they says, my agent said, why don't you do stunts for children? You're athletic anyway. So I became a stuntman for children. Also, photo double, standing in, inserts, a million other things that they need little people for, because when the producer comes on a set and sees the midget there, they say, oh, that's good. The kid's going to have his schooling. The main thing the producer's worried about is make the kid has all their schooling so they won't miss any work, you know. So I was used for all those purposes, you know.
In addition to the famous role of being the leader of the Lollipop Guild, you were also, if not mistaken, Buster Brown.
That's right.
For the Buster Brown Shoe Company?
That's right. That's my dog, Ty. He lives in a shoe. I'm Buster Brown. Look for me in there, too. Yep, I was Buster Brown. I was also Little Oscar for the Oscar Mayer Meat Packing Company for about 11 years.
Wow, that's pretty impressive.
On the West Coast.
Yeah.
They had about four Little Oscars, one for the East Coast, West Coast, the one for the Midwest, and one for down south.
But still, I guess your biggest claim to fame, what people know you for, is
the Lollipop Kid.
The Lollipop Kid, yeah.
Everybody's seen that movie.
What does it mean to you and the others over the years? What does it mean to be a Munchkin?
Oh, it's terrific because we have Oz festivals all over the country, which is nice for us because we get to meet, you know, we get to see one another. Not a lot of them, only seven of us maybe, or five of us. So we go to Chesterton, Indiana once a year. We go to Chittenango, New York. That was the birthplace of L. Frank Baum, the author of The Wizard of Oz. We go to Grand Rapids, Minnesota, which we're going tomorrow. And that was that's the birthplace of Judy Garland and other places. Let me see, we had a couple in Midland, Texas, and Liberal, Kansas. So we have five or six we do every year, which keeps us busy. I've been retired for 15 years, but this was fun because they allowed me to take my wife and they paid all the expenses. While we stay in a very nice hotel, excellent restaurant, so it's fun.
Now, I understand your wife, Elizabeth, calls herself an MBM, right?
Yeah, that means Munchkin by Marriage. Ma-boom. How'd you hear about that?
Oh, I keep my ear to the ground.
Well, that's wonderful. You're the first one that remembered.
Really?
Yes.
It sounds like you've had quite the charmed life because, you know, as I said before, there are so many stories about what happened on The Wizard of Oz, particularly dealing with the little actors, and you either hear stories of wild partying or terrible despair.
Well, I described the wild party business. That was a lot of BS, you know.
Right.
Like I said, there was one or two guys that drank, but they drank any place because they were alcoholics. And they're the ones that caused everything because they were the only ones that were out at night, you know. Hell, you couldn't go out at night. We're working 6 days a week, you know, 7 in the morning to 7 at night. It's a lot of work, you know. You got to rest.
Now, is it true that you were in the film, a film that I kind of find kind of fun, were you in The Terror of Tiny Town?
No, I wasn't. I was offered a job in that one. I was in my fourth year of high school, and they sent me a telegram saying, we would like to have you for The Terror of Tiny Town.
Which was an all-midget Western, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
But they didn't weren't specific about money or transportation or expenses. So my father said, well, they think you just got off the boat. Don't even answer. So we didn't answer. But deep down, I wanted to be in it because, you know, every kid wants to be a cowboy, you know.
Right. Now, did you also wrestle?
I used to wrestle, yes, professionally.
And what was your, did you have a wrestling name?
Yeah, Babyface Marin.
How did you do?
Well, I always won because I was the hero.
Yeah.
I mean,
rumors. You mean it's not real?
No. You want me to get killed? The guy that's my opponent, he could have killed me anytime he wanted to. But he was fun.
So besides fighting for the historic Culver Hotel, what do you do these days to keep yourself busy? Besides making some appearances?
Yeah, well, I play golf occasionally. Once, I used to play every week. Now I play once every 3 weeks or hardly anything, you know, because, well, I'm a sports nut, you know. I'm a couch potato. We watch all the ball games, the football, the golf. You know, by the time you watch those, there isn't time for anything else.
Well, it sounds like you've led a charmed life and an interesting life.
I did, and I was lucky enough to meet the greatest gal in the world, my wife, Elizabeth. She's from Mobile, Alabama.
Elizabeth, the MBM.
The MBM, right, midget by marriage.
Munchkin by marriage.
Munchkin by marriage, I mean.
Jerry, I thank you very, very much for being on the program with us this evening.
You're very kind. Say, can I put another thought in your mind?
What's that?
Some people said somebody committed suicide on the set of the Wizard of Oz.
Right.
The Munchkinland sequel. That's a lie.
That didn't happen either.
Not at all. Okay. You know, if anything like that happened, I'd have known. I was there.
Right.
And you know how the mother little munchkins are. They big my papa, you know, yap yap yap. They'd have told me. You know, it was in one side of the stage.
Right.
It's just a false thing. I don't know. Somebody seen it and he thought he'd make something of it, and it's just too bad.
Well, I'm glad we had you on the program.
People ask me that all the time. I said, where the hell did you hear that?
I'm glad we had you on the program to clear up some of the situations.
Thank you very much.
And I hope that you've done some work, some good work, in perhaps preserving the Culver Hotel, where all you guys had a chance to stay oh so many years ago.
I hope so.
I thank you for being on the program with us.
It's not in our hands anymore. It's up to the city council. So we did what we could, and I feel good about it.
Okay.
If I didn't do anything about it, I might have felt kind of funny, but I had to let them know how I felt.
Well, that's all that counts.
Yes.
I thank you very much for talking with us, Jerry.
Well, thank you very much, Petey. You've been very kind, and I'm sure your audience loves you.
Take care.
Thank you.